Hey everyone, welcome to the Anvil Wealth Podcast. I'm here with Wayne Critides. He is a very special person that I was introduced to through a very special person that I know. And we have similar interests in investing and people and leadership. So I thought he'd be a good guest today to talk to. Wade, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Marcel. How are you? It's a Friday as of the time of this recording. I'm an entrepreneur now, so that's kind of different than my employee days, but there's still some special energy about Friday. So I got kind of that big Friday energy going. I'm really excited for our conversation just to chop it up with you.
Awesome. Great. Well, I'm happy to be here and good to see you. And we'll just get started right away. I wanted to start asking you a little bit about kind of your background, first of all. How did you get started in the business world and then leading you into where you are now?
Yeah, I love sharing stories, and like that's always the thing too with speaking or interviewing, right? Like everyone, I know my story better than anyone, right? No one can tell my story. So anyone who's ever out there interviewing or just share your story, because you can't get it wrong, right? And so, but I've been working on making my story a little more concise. I'm like you, Marcel, I'm a storyteller. I could talk for days, but I'll make it a concise story. But long story short, I didn't grow up with a lot money-wise. I had good loving parents. I feel like I had a good childhood, but money was a pain point. And it led to some, you know, actually money mindset, trauma and scarcity and all the things. So I thought growing up, that's the missing link, money. I got to go make money. I grew up in Boston area, the Northeast. So I look around, who makes money? Businessmen. All right. How do I become a businessman? All right. I got to go to business school. How do I do that? All right. I got to get the grades. And oh, if I'm good enough at sports, I could get a scholarship. So I played football. I worked hard enough in school and in football to go to Bentley University. It was a business school up in the Northeast. And so I ended up getting my master's in finance there. I played football there. Actually was an All-American as well. So I was coming out of college like feeling good. Like I got my master's in finance. I was an All-American in football. Now I got to use this degree and this education and go into the working world. And I thought when I make six figures, everything will be set. That's what's been missing my whole life. Right. And then I'll be able to help my family and all the things. So I put my head down, you know, worked hard, first one in, last one out. I ended up working for a credit fund on kind of investing financial assets, valuation, a lot of different things. Worked with investment bankers and lawyers and corporate teams and all sorts. So I got great experience. And actually at a pretty young age, by the time I was 25, I hit that six-figure mark. And I was like, oh, I made it. And then kind of like the feeling of, but wait, this isn't like, I thought it would be this like big thing in this feeling, but it really wasn't. I wasn't any more fulfilled. I just had a nicer apartment downtown and looking over the water. I had a nice car and I was able, you know, and I kind of lived that finance six figure lifestyle for a year or two, right? I'm going out to the bars and the clubs. I'm buying everyone's tabs and buying the tables and bottles and whatever. But after a year or two, it's kind of like, nothing really changed in my life. I just make more money and I actually spend money. That's kind of how the finance world trained me. It's like, no, go have this flashy things and whatever. And so I'm then 5 years into my career, 6, 7 years into my career. And I kind of start to realize like, okay, this is cool. On paper, everything's great. I make good money. I have a great job. You know, I live in downtown Boston. Like, what do you really want? I started to think about, what do I want my life to look like? And then I'm 7 years into this finance career. I've learned a lot, wouldn't trade it for the world. But I eventually moved to Orange County, California with my then girlfriend, now wife. Sorry, then fiance, now wife. And I started to meet people whose lives that I really looked up to and respected. They could go surf at 2 on a Wednesday. They could drop kids off at school or pick them up. And what I realized, they were entrepreneurs and business owners. They were also passionate about what they were doing. I realized, like, I'm good at my job. It's fine. But I wasn't passionate about what I was doing. I was just doing it for the paycheck. And I realized, whoa, I'm building my CEO's equity, his assets, his dream, not my own. I'm just coming to work. He tells me when I have to be at work, how much vacation I get. So I started to get the itch and to be like, I got to become an entrepreneur. I want to be my own boss. And at 29 or so, I started to explore. I hired a business coach. I'm like, I want to start a business, become an entrepreneur. He basically starts grooming me to kind of become him, kind of become a business coach. And I'm like, okay, I could do that. You help people in their lives, basically, and in their mindset and in their health and in business. Like, I think I could do that. So he starts grooming me. And right around that time, my wife is like, more a serial or born entrepreneur. I was like groomed to be a really good employee. And so I had to rewire and learn the entrepreneurial mindset.
Right.
And so she starts this entrepreneurial endeavor in the health and wellness space, partnering with a health and wellness brand, you know, building a large organization and a team. And I remember looking at him like, this is genius. Like, this is turnkey entrepreneurship. Like, usually starting a business, it costs hundreds of thousands or millions that you have to go buy a bank or investors. And then it takes you years to become profitable and start paying yourself. You can be profitable right away. This is like, it's no startup cost really. So she takes it, runs with it. I'm watching her. I'm being trained to be a coach, basically. She's now running a team, building a customer organization, basically a health, business, and mindset coach. And she's like, babe, I'm doing what you're looking to do, just a different scale. So I ended up partnering with her with the idea of like, I want to leave my finance desk job behind and build this. And so we built this big health and wellness organization where we coach people in health. We coach people in business. We help people start their own health and wellness businesses. And that's been 5 years. So I just took a leap. Wow. I jumped. I worked, was burning the midnight oil before I had kids, but worked the kind of Wall Street finance job during the day, a lot of hours. And then I'd worked this passion project because I had a vision. My finance job wasn't the vehicle that could get me to my dream life.
Right.
My entrepreneurial endeavor was. And so I would work that at night when I could. And it took us a year. We went pretty fast in it, but we were able to use leverage and leverage ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people team building via technology, social media, different things we have at disposal this day and age, systems. And I was able to leave my finance job. And then I'm just about 30. I'm now an entrepreneur. And I'm like, whoa, I got to learn how to become like a full-time entrepreneur. And that just opened up my whole world, my vision. And it made me think, it took me a few years in entrepreneurship to be like, wait a second, I used to work for an investment fund.
Right.
Why don't I start my own? I know
exactly.
Yeah. I know making. I know real estate. I know assets. I know valuation. And so it empowered me in just getting into entrepreneurship. Be like, wait, why can't I start my own thing? And so now I focus on, I'm a girl dad. I got my girl dad shirt on.
I love it.
Devoted husband. And, you know, I still love finance and I have my own investment fund. We're raising a fund for real estate right now. And then I have this big kind of health and wellness organization where we run a large team where I'm essentially a coach there, like a leadership coach. And so that's, I said long story short, I meant long story
long. Still long, but I like it. You know, you said a comment or a word that I, or two words that really resonated with me. And I've been trying to identify how not only what I'm doing, but how other people can pick a passion project. That was really a good way of describing it, because everyone thinks of like a job. They have their job. Okay, they're happy or they're making money or paying the bills. And maybe they want to try the passion project. They don't know how to identify it. They just think it's like, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to put my feet in the water and try it.
Yeah.
But if you call it a passion project, that really has some impact because it means it has something meaning inside. It's not just I'm going to dip my toes in the water.
Yeah.
So I hope I can, with your permission, use that, because that's a really effective way of describing something that means something to you. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, 100%. Passion.
I never heard that before.
Passion is the fuel, right? Like,
yeah.
Honestly, there's that question out there and there's some validity to it. Like, we don't always just like do what you love and you'll never work a day, but it's like, what would you do for free? What do you love to do? What would you do for free where you would be like, I would spend my time doing this no matter what, if I got paid for it or not. Right. There you're starting to find, you know, where your passions probably meet your skill set. And then guess what? If you build something that adds enough value to other people, like the money comes and you will monetize. Yeah. But like you're thinking of, I want to make $1 million. That's kind of like cheap fuel. When you're like, perfect. I freaking love this. I want to spend my time doing it. That's like, that fuel has depth to it and can really like propel you forward. Now, also you got to find, you know, if your passion is something where you can't really make money, and that's fine.
Right.
Don't expect to be a multimillionaire from it.
Like
every single passion has a market to it where you can go monetize it.
Right.
A lot do. And there's a lot of people like you that probably have a similar passion. And how can you create something to go help other people?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I like that. Just that term really identifies it and puts it in a way that could fit easily into everyone's brain. What is your passion project? So you have a job, that's fine, but you got to have a passion project, whether it pays you in money or it pays you in satisfaction. It has to pay you something and that's what you're passionate about.
So and I want to touch on that real quick, because like our jobs, like we need our jobs. We all have built, like you need jobs. And eventually if you can work a passion project and monetize it and that's your life and it pays your bills, that's even better. That's awesome. Exactly. But it's like your job pays your bills, but what you got to work on your dream too. Like what are your dreams? Like what are your passions? Like what does fuel you? What does I always reflect when I'm 90 sitting on a rocking chair with my great grandkid in my lap and he's asking me about my life. What do I want to share with him? I'm not going to share like, yeah, I sat at this desk and I made multiple six figures in finance and like I was good at it. Like, no, I'm going to share about going for the dream, working on a project, building something, being willing to go for it, being willing to fail and get back and keep going. So that the human soul needs growth and needs you to go after your dream. And we hear those intuitive kind of intuitions or heart whispers or God winks or whatever people want to call them. Like we get those downloads, right? And usually we just push them away because we're adults and we have responsibility.
Right.
We can tap in and tune into that and really just start to chase it and be like, what would I want to spend time doing after work? You start to do that, you can really build something from there.
Well, and I, if I can add to that, I would say that people that do beyond just the adult things, just paying their bills and living, those are really the winners. That really in life, those are the winners because you've unlocked like a superpower to be able to go in that direction when most people don't.
Yeah.
You know, and they're all good people. I have some great people that just work and love their life and, you know, go have beers on a Friday night. That's all great.
Oh, 100%.
If that's all I want, that's great. But to really like what I think being a winner is just expanding yourself in every way possible. And this is a really powerful way. You know?
Oh, people admire and respect and love watching people going for their dreams.
Yeah.
Because it brings out inspiration in them. They're like, could I do that? And so if your dream is white picket fence, family of four, steady job, benefits, like that's a great dream too. If that's truly your dream. I realize a lot of people, because I'm in the people business, like I coach a team of thousands of people. So I get to know people really well. And they really want autonomy over their life. And they want something that they feels aligned and authentic to them. And they enjoy building, not just like to get the money to pay the bills, to pay for their lifestyle. It's like it fuels their soul. And so people want autonomy and they want freedom to live the life they want with, you know, how they love, with who they love and doing what they love. And
exactly.
It's not easy, of course, but it takes intention and effort, but like it's possible for all of us.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Let me ask you this. So you kind of explained to us about trading up from your old job, which was comfortable and you had your income and you're being the adult and all that for the new, but tell us a little about going for the unknown when you already have the known. In other words, you were already safe and secure. You had your money. You had no reason to have to go after this.
Yeah.
And a little bit about how it's uncomfortable at first, but then you could have stayed with the easy and the comfortable, but you pushed yourself to be uncomfortable to get to another place. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, man, that is a great question. There's a great story or analogy I heard. I think Steve Harvey said it, and he's got some entrepreneurial mindset trainings and good stuff. And when I think people think, and I thought this too, so I'm speaking from firsthand experience, that I could build this corporate job that had safety and security until it doesn't. You can be fired on the spot. People think there's all security. Entrepreneurship is uncomfortable and it feels riskier, but like it's betting on yourself. The security is in yourself. My security was with my boss who could fire me at any moment. And that ended up happening. And I'm going to tell that story. But for me, I thought I could just have this corporate career that was steady and paid for my life. And I could start working on that passion project, that entrepreneurial endeavor, until it got to this point where I could comfortably transition into entrepreneurship. Now, what Steve Harvey said, he goes, no. And I've adopted this. And because it happened in my life, he goes, at some point, you need to jump. You really are standing on the cliff of life. You see your dreams and you see other people. You mentioned, Marcel, winners flying around. And you're like, I want to do that. How do I do it? I'm grounded right now. How do I go fly? And he goes, at some point, you're standing on the cliff and you got to jump. There's no like just steady, easy bridge. Like, let me just easily transition from corporate to entrepreneurship. It's a jump. And what happens is you're on the cliff. And let's say you do jump and you go for it. You don't just spread your wings and fly and you're soaring. You're like, this is awesome. No, you're free falling. You're scared I won't drop the word, but you're super scared, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Way down, you're hitting rocks and you're tumbling and you're getting bruised and bumped and you're like, why would I ever do this? I left like the safety of my corporate job or my bed, my warm bed, right?
And right.
No, to like the unknown, and I'm getting bruised and battered and I'm free falling and it's so scary. Mm-hmm. Eventually you stick with it and you have belief and you keep going, your wings spread. And then, exactly. Then you're kind of awkward and your wings, you're like, I'm flying, but like, how do I do this? And then eventually right. You keep going and you're soaring, right? And so
right.
Every point, if someone looking to make a career pivot, especially in the entrepreneurship, you're standing on that cliff and you have right. to. For me, I thought I could like build a bridge. I couldn't. And so what happened for me is I was working the passion project and I did this great marketing video with my wife and she put it on LinkedIn. And I thought I was writing my ticket out. They needed right. me. We were raising a $500 million fund. It was a small company, 10 of us. And so I'm like, I have all the leverage. Hey guys, I'll help you raise the fund. After that, I'll pitch you some like super good for me part-time, you know, consulting. And right. I'm just going to ease into this entrepreneurship. I was upfront with them. They knew what I was doing. They're right. like, see the fund through, please. And so I was like, yeah, all good. And I was loyal and all this stuff. And it was eyes wide open. Everyone knew what was going on.
Right.
Now, this incredible passionate marketing video for our health and wellness entrepreneurial endeavor, my wife throws up on LinkedIn and it's me and her. She's like, hey, it's not getting as much traction as I'd want. Will you like it? I didn't know how LinkedIn worked at the time.
Right.
Like my whole network sees it. And so investment bankers, lawyers, our investors, like clients, like everyone sees this.
Oh my God.
I get a call. We didn't really have HR. We were so small. Like, of course we did, but we didn't. And they right. go, oh, our CFO, like, Wade, this is a corporate, this is HR, like Monday morning, this right. happened. And they're like, this on record. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? They're like, we have to terminate you immediately for breaching contract and finance. You know, you can't technically do other things. Now we had this off the record agreement. They're like, yeah, it's fine.
Right.
But I'm like, whoa, what? Because I thought I was writing my ticket out. I had all the leverage. Then all of a sudden I'm getting fired on a Monday. When I was writing my way out, and I'm like, can we go off the record? When are you done? They're like, you have to return your laptop, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, all right, off the record. They're like, dude, the LinkedIn video is going viral and everyone's sending it to us. And they're like,
no way.
How is he doing this and that? How is he a VP for your firm and doing this? Does he sleep? And like, because they didn't understand what I was doing. And they're like, we knew, but now everyone knows. And
right.
you know, you can't do something else in per your contract, so we literally have to fire you.
Got it.
And I'm like, whoa. So I didn't jump off. I got pushed
you
off.
You got pushed off. That's even
worse. And I'm living in Orange County with a mortgage and like my back's against the wall. And we were making decent money with the passion project,
right.
but not what not I needed to. So then it was that decision, that sink or swim. Do I go back to safety and go get like a six-figure finance job?
Right.
Or do I go all in on entrepreneurship and take the risk? And so I bet right. on myself. I'm falling, I'm bruised, I'm battered, the cliff, all the things. Oh, but I stuck with it, kept going, had faith and belief in myself, kept looking to serve people, make an impact. And you know, within 6-12 months later, we had stabilized, like we reached the top of our company. We had this big impact and brand we were building it. And I more than replaced my finance income.
That's
and
so, awesome.
It's amazing what faith and belief and extraordinary yeah. work ethic can yeah. do. But I got pushed off the cliff. But
that probably helped.
Yeah, it did help. At any point, you're going to be at that cliff and you're going to need to jump, or maybe you'll get pushed. They got you.
Exactly. That's an awesome answer. Thanks for sharing that. The other thing I was thinking about is, and these are my experience and I've seen other people too, as you young people, I help a lot of young people with the financial wellness training that I do, mostly college athletes. And yeah. A lot of times young people, and I remember when I was young, you know, you think, well, I'm going to be a manager now. I got a promotion. Now I don't have to do anything. All the people beneath me, they have to do all the hard work. But isn't it true? And maybe share your experience. Don't you have to work harder as you move up because you're doing bigger things and you have more people that are watching you and they're following your lead? So you have to be a good example, right? Share a little bit about that now. How much you work harder?
That's so good. And I love what you're doing too with the financial literacy for young people. That's been on my heart too. And so I'm really excited just for us to go deeper and connect on that, even offline, off interview. But I think there is a difference between management and leadership, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the world is starving for leaders. And management and leadership are both important. They're a little different. Management is a little more like trying to manage people, metrics, all the things. But yeah, you're taking on more responsibility. You're not just like, I have my job as an employee. I'm like, can I do my job well and get my deliverables in? As a manager, you're like, okay, I have a team. Can I make sure everyone's doing their job well? Mm-hmm. However, leadership, if you do anything, especially if you're a young person listening to this, or any, all of us, right? We're always continuously developing ourselves and our leadership. But one of the best things you can do and skills you can invest in is becoming a leader. And it starts with leading yourself. Like you've got, you know, you can't start a financial podcast if you haven't done the do and built the blocks and built the things and proven yourself and built your own brand through life. You don't just hop on like financially broke, like giving financial advice. Like
exactly.
Leadership, you got to lead yourself first. If I'm leading a health and wellness company and a business, like I got to be like, am I healthy and well?
Right.
Am I business minded? Am I fit, healthy and fit business wise? And so with leadership, you lead yourself first. And do you do what you say you're going to do? Do you have a level of discipline? Do you know where you're going? Do you have goals in your life? And then what starts leadership's leaders, John Maxwell said this, one of the best leadership trainers in the world. He said, leaders know the way, they go the way, and then they show the way. So first, like, do I know where I'm going? Do I know what I want to do? Then I got to go blaze the trail and forge the path. I got to go do the do first, because I'm not going to ask anyone to do what I'm not willing to do.
Right.
And then I just blaze the trail. Let me go back and take someone with me and walk them through with them.
Right.
Eventually, your goal is to raise other leaders where they don't even need you. And they're off leading in the world and making their own impact. And that's a big part of my health and wellness business. I had to go the way first. I had to forge the path and build the business and build the systems and build the team. And now I'm in a position of leadership where I'm like, I still do what I did when I was getting started, because I'm not going to be there managing like, hey, you guys do all this. I'm not doing it anymore because I'm good. But I could go and be like, hey, I just walked this path. You want this life too? Like, all right, let me walk it with you. So I think especially young people, the more you can develop your leadership, and that's listening to podcasts like this from people maybe further along than you, reading books. A book is someone's life experience put into like a 10-hour read. How valuable is that? So we start by leading ourselves, and but there's a lot of responsibility with leadership. Like I can't I have a huge team now. I have a huge responsibility. I can't just go out, fall off, you know, go on vacation for a year and be like, good luck, guys. Like I technically could. But that would be at the detriment to them and their success and the team.
Right. So
with more, you know, leadership comes a lot of responsibility. And it's not easy. Like it's safer and easier just to be like, I'm responsible for me and what I do, and I'm good at my job. But if you want to become a leader, but guess what? Leaders get paid a lot more.
Yeah. Because
the world needs leaders, and the world is starving for leaders. So I think, there's a lot of heightened responsibility, but it's a great growth journey. And you know, I've made a good amount of money in this entrepreneurial endeavor, but if I could only pick who I've become, the growth or the money, I'd pick the growth, development every single time, because no one can take that away from me. I could go build another business or something and create that money again. You can't
replace the growth,
and the journey and the leadership. So I hope that answered your question.
That's awesome. If I can just add a little piece to that, is I didn't know about the John Maxwell leadership stuff until last week. I'm a member of the Rotary Club here in the town of Gunnersville. Mm-hmm. We have a speaker. He's a Maxwell leader. He's like a coach or whatever. Yeah. And he teaches like speaking. And one thing that I've done, several speaking engagements, quite a few actually, and I think I'm pretty good. I've gotten really good feedback from different people. But I want to pursue that. And then he teaches this course. So actually, I just signed up with him yesterday. For this course, it costs $800, and it's I think it's 10 modules for, you do it every 2 weeks. But I'm paying that out of my pocket. I don't get anything for it, but I know I'm going to be a great speaker, because my goal is to be a great speaker.
Yeah.
And I want this on this recording, because someday we're going to look back on this when I'm speaking in front of 50,000 people, and they're going to go, "Whoa, how come you're up on that stage?" And I go, "Well, here's the day. This is when I was actually developing my training, not just talking like you and I are now." Mm-hmm. And you're probably you've probably done more speaking gigs in front of people than I have, but it's pretty cool. And when you said John Maxwell leadership, I'm like, that's a fresh name in my mind right now, because I'm just starting that that growth journey right now.
You know? Yep. And you know what I love about that? Like God, the universe, people's belief systems, right? They give you those clues, right? God gives you like, hey, oh, John Maxwell. So I'm going to bring John Maxwell into this conversation because, right. And then it's alignment and synchronicity. And you're like, whoa, okay, let me definitely make sure I go on that path because that was like a little sign of life, right? And so right. John Maxwell is the best leadership coach. His books are incredible. Like you'll love them. You just start devouring those books. Like you've already built leadership and success in your life, but like I know you aren't done. You feel like you're probably just getting started. And
oh yeah,
great. And you will be speaking on stages and all the things. And I've learned a lot from him. And the best thing is, well, you learn from the course, but then we just learn by doing. Like
yeah,
this is a different form of speaking. It's more conversational, but. For me and you, we want to speak and go tell our story. And
I like people, you know.
And our biggest thing is interviewing and listening and pulling the best out of people. That's where you and I can probably develop a lot of our skills because we can go talk.
But
can I listen? Can I get the right questions out? So, and I'm excited to look back on this.
Yeah.
I'll be like, oh my gosh, you're speaking on that stage. Remember one of the first podcast interviews?
Yeah, it's just coincidental that I literally found him last week at the meeting and signed on with him and sent him a payment just yesterday. Actually, it's just funny. So, and the last question I have for today is basically, you're challenging yourself. That's what you're doing. Well, and why? I mean, you partially answered that with what you said, but why do you keep challenging yourself? You've already become successful in different avenues, not just sales and marketing or real estate or your personal life with your wife and your kids. Why do you keep challenging yourself? Like most people would say, okay, enough, stop. Go take a break. Why do you keep challenging yourself?
That's a great question. I think about it a lot. I think about nature versus nurture a lot. Like how much of this am I wired versus how much have I nurtured through environment, through meeting people like you, through mentorship, through like knowing I can do more. And you know, there's a guy, Ed Milet. He's one of the best speakers in the world.
I know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah. Best podcast. And one thing he says, this just popped into my brain right when you asked it. He says, he's a man of faith. And he's like, I think when I get to the pearly gates, God's going to put in front of me like who I could have become.
Right.
You know what my dream is? I meet that version of me and we're like twins. And I'm like, hey, man. And it's like all my potential fulfilled. I'm like, I know you well. Yeah, we've been through the journey. And he goes, you know what my worst nightmare is? I meet that version of me. He's a total stranger.
You don't like it. Yeah.
I just got chills down my spine because I think that's it in a microcosm, right? It's like life isn't about necessarily like the things or the money. It's experience. It's who you are. It's how you show up. It's your relationships and everything. But it's the growth. It's like Tony Robbins always says it. The human soul needs growth. It's starving for growth. I promise you, because I've done it when I had success early on in entrepreneurship.
Right.
You kind of chill out a bit. You're like, oh, I did. I went to the beach, right? But the beach gets boring. Trust me. Like you go to the beach or you travel the world. You know, it might be cool for a year or so, and then you're like, wait. No, I got to grow. I got to build. When you stop growing, like that's death almost. When you start sitting idle and you stop growing, you just start dying. And so I think that's just awesome. For me, growth is not comfortable though, but change is inevitable.
Yeah.
Growth isn't inevitable. Change is. Growth is not comfortable, but when you look back, like the hardest parts, the beginning stages of my business were so uncomfortable.
Oh,
but it's my favorite. Because there was so much growth of my soul and my person and my leadership and my impact and my team and the income, right? But it's almost, we are all connected as humans. Like we crave growth. And it's sad to me because I think in some ways in society, we're kind of just trained into stability, right? And you stop growing. Like I was at a point in my finance career, like, I was good at my job and I didn't seek growth outside of it. I was just like, no, I'm going to sit down. I'm going to get my work done. I'm going to get paid. And that go to the gym after work. And then I'm going to cook dinner. And then I'm going to watch Netflix. And I'm going to do it over again. I'm going to wait for the weekend. And you just end up like on this kind of flatlining and it drains your soul. And you know what? We all have a responsibility. You know, when you're around people who are going after their dreams, who are growing.
Oh, yeah.
infectious energy. And you also know people where their soul is in the table, and you're like, dang. And so I'll almost say it's selfish not to become that better, that next level version of you. Go for your dream, go for your goal. And maybe your dream or your goal is within the job you're in, but like, be that person that loves showing up, that is continually striving to get better and grow and make people around them better, because that's infectious.
That's
what people want to be around. People just want to be around other people's energy is everything. Mm-hmm. And so when you're growing, it's exciting. It's not easy, but it's exciting. And so I think for me, it's just continually, you said, challenging yourself to like, what's the next level version of me? And sometimes I put myself in my shoes, like, what would the billionaire version of me do here? I don't even know if that's a goal of mine. And since it's not, it's probably not going to happen and not a goal. But it's like, what would the 8-figure net worth, 9-figure net worth version of me do right here, right now? Mm-hmm. What advice would he give? It's like, go to the conference, invest in yourself, like, go for it. Go for that thing, that tug on your heart. And so that's kind of how I think about it. And like, you never arrive. We reached the top of our company and our entrepreneurship. Right. And I felt like I was just getting started. I'm like, no, there's so much growth from here. Now I'm a leader of leaders. Like, I gotta invest even more in myself. I gotta go even harder. And it's fun. It's fun doing that.
That's so awesome. That's an awesome interview and great material. I love all this stuff because, like I said, a lot of the how to be this or how to be that, the technical stuff you can read, how to learn real estate, you can read books, how to invest. A lot of the stuff you and I know, we just learned it like everyone else could learn it if they wanted to. So just you and I telling that stuff over and over and over again, that's great, whatever. But this is really the stuff that tugs at someone's inner soul. That's the stuff that really I'm interested in. I hope my viewers are too, you know?
Yeah, no, it was an absolute pleasure. I mean, you let me talk 90% of the time, which I love. And so what I realized too, and with these podcasts, I'm excited for your podcast and your journey and to tune in, is you and I could share the tangible steps of this, do this, do that, do that.
Right.
What I realized in speaking, in interviews, and everything, like, how do I get that point across through story? And so that's been one thing I've been working on is like, instead of telling, let me share, relate. Because in the beginning of speaking and entrepreneurship, I wanted to be impressive. I want to be the best speaker. I wanted to impress people. I wanted to attract people by being the best and impressing them. And then what I realized is that doesn't, like, it's cool, but it doesn't work. Like, I want to be empowering. I want them to relate to me and feel like, whoa, if Wade can do it, I can do it too. I relate to I was in a soul sucking job, or I felt like I was made for more, or I just had to take the first step. And there's so many good ways to do that. But that's been like what I've been working on. The transformation is empowering instead of just inspiring, empowering and relating, hearing stories. And so thanks for letting me share
some
stories. And I'm excited for us to get to know each other even better. And who knows, maybe we'll build something together someday too.
Awesome. Yeah. So we may do some other podcasts and we could do reverse. If you want to interview me on your platform, that'd be awesome too.
Yeah.
And I have different stories, but everything has some kind of way to relate to people, and I love people and you do too. So I kind of feel like we'll both do really well, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you, Marcel, for having me. Excited to follow along on the podcast journey.